The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is Andrew Loker for the Trumpet Daily Radio Program, guest hosting today for Stephen Fleury. We learned a lot yesterday from Stephen Fleury regarding the mass shooting in Las Vegas, and I was actually scheduled to give the program on Monday and was a little late coming into the office and saw what was happening in the news. I had a different program planned, and Richard Palmer over in the United Kingdom was well on top of this story and had already prepared to send me some material, but he ended up taking the program himself and did really a wonderful job. He's a very capable journalist and one of our fantastic young people that has gone through the college program here. Wow, it's been quite a week and really quite a year when you think about it. On the program yesterday, we were reminded just how catastrophic 2017 has been in the United States. So many disasters, so terrible crimes, such violence, anarchy, protest, a lot of division in this country. It's just really been a terrible year from that standpoint. And one thing that is a pattern, you could say, is during these tragic news stories, there can also be some very positive reports of people that step out to help other people. And then the news cycle seems to move on to politicize what went on. Then the finger pointing gets started as they try to assess blame. The mass murder committed in Las Vegas this week seems to follow that pattern. However, it hasn't taken very long to politicize a lot of different facets of this crime. Sadly, we have comedians, former politicians, current politicians, all of them piling up on what with just really seemingly little regard for the loss of life. They know with our short attention span as a nation, they have to capitalize on the tragedy to make their point. Already there's been blame thrown around, and yet we've never suffered anything on a scale like this mass shooting around Las Vegas. It sounds like the complicated gun laws that are in place already obviously did little to slow down this shooter. It didn't prevent it at all, in fact. None of the rules have. And sadly, that's what we find. We can institute laws. We can push and drive people to obey certain rules that are intended to protect society. And yet those rules can be broken. People have free choice. And it leads to great, great suffering. Now, what could have been done? I think that's an important question to ask. How do we prevent shootings like this in the future? What caused Stephen Paddock to snap, as his family suggested? Well, believe it or not, the answers are found in our Bible. The Apostle Paul quoted two different psalms in the book of Romans that are especially appropriate. He quoted Psalm 14 and also quoted from Psalm 53. I'd like to read to you a passage from the book of Romans, chapter 3, and I'll begin in verse 10. David is quoting in his psalm, he is quoting God, who sits in heaven and observes the affairs of men. Quoting now from Romans 3, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not one." Again, this is God's perspective looking down on the affairs of man. He continues, "Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." End of quote there from Romans chapter 3. What a accurate description of our society today. God looks down and he sees those that are angry. He sees evil. He sees people that are cursing. Their feet are swift to shed blood. destruction and misery. They don't know peace. I mean, that is a description of what we're dealing with today. And when you apply those verses to what we hear from the media or sports athletes, politicians, those that enjoy a spotlight or have a platform to express their views, well, you see this anger. You see a lack of understanding, politicizing, blaming. But what's causing these problems? The Bible shows us why this terror will continue. There is no fear of God in their eyes. And that really is the core of the problem. And that is the tragic history of human society, human life. And yet in the media, or I should say in the midst of these terror attacks, the media really tries to come back to this story of heroism and self-sacrifice. And in a way that's refreshing, you can only take so much of the terror that takes place. And it is refreshing to see that there are those that put the needs of others ahead of themselves. Yes, we do have reminders that mankind can be good. I'd like to quote to you from NBCNews.com. This is a story they ran yesterday, and it's just an example of many different news sources that reported on some of the good things that were done during this very tragic event. This article says, in the midst of gunfire, chaos, and carnage, Sonny Melton, a nurse from Tennessee, died shielding his wife from the bullets raining down on them. Mike Kronk, a retired teacher from Alaska, used his pickup truck as a makeshift ambulance to transport wounded concertgoers. And Mike McGarry, a financial advisor from Philadelphia, threw himself on top of his kids as he heard hundreds of bullets ring out. These are some of the acts of heroism that have emerged out of the bloodshed created by Stephen Craig Paddock, 64 years old, a lone gunman firing a barrage of bullets from his hotel room at a Las Vegas music festival. Now, we know all the details. We know that there are still hundreds of people receiving medical treatment. The mental trauma that was caused by this barbaric act will scar thousands of people, really, for a long time. This article continues, White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders was on the verge of tears Monday as she recounted the heroes born out of the heartbreak. She said, and I quote, "What these people did for each other says far more about who we are as Americans than the cowardly acts of a killer ever could." Sanders said, fighting back tears during the daily news briefing. She was clearly upset as she was reading these stories, and there's just dozens and dozens of them. Parents that protected their children, strangers that just did whatever they could to aid people. And of course, you have the first responders that have to run into these very dramatic situations to try to stop the problem. Sarah Huckabee Sanders said those courageous feats and others are, quote, "an eternal reminder that the American spirit cannot be broken." So she recounts the good acts that were done and really looks at the wonderful qualities in man, the spirit in man that is really potentially very good. We do have reminders of the good nature of some Americans. But was she entirely accurate in what she said? Can that American spirit be broken? And is it always good? There is actually a spirit in man, not just an American spirit, but a spirit in man. And that spirit is a great mystery to this world, to educators, doctors, and psychiatrists. Those experts are trying to make sense of what happened. In Job 32, verse 8, God tells us that there's a spirit in man. God doesn't obscure that fact. He makes it quite plain and very understandable. But he also tells us through the Bible that spirit in man is not eternal. It's not naturally submissive to God and his instruction. In fact, it is not even naturally good. Now, nobody wants to hear that today. We do appreciate those stories where people did step up to help others. But we do have a responsibility to speak the truth. It's interesting when you look at that spirit in man, it does have an inbuilt desire to think that we're just naturally good people. We have a great little booklet entitled What Science Can't Discover About the Human Mind, and I strongly suggest you read that booklet. It's short. I think it's about 20 pages long, but the depth of understanding in those 20 pages would surpass any college textbook you'd have in psychiatry or psychology. It is amazing what God teaches us about this spirit of man, and there's really a couple different functions of that spirit. Now, if you haven't read that book for a while and you have it, again, go back and read it. If you don't have a copy and you'd like to request one, visit our website, thetrumpet.com, and you can download your copy or you can make a request and we'll send one to you free of charge. If you understand the strengths and weaknesses of that spirit in man, then you can begin to understand what's causing these problems. And knowing the cause then will start to reveal the solutions. We can solve these problems that are facing mankind. And if we look to the Bible, we'll find the answers there. Law enforcement, political commentators, news media, well, they're going to spend the next several weeks or longer dissecting this act of terror, trying to make sense of it, trying to learn from it. They, in a great way, they want to prevent another incident. They want to pass laws to protect. But if they don't understand the cause of the problem, there is no hope for the solution. We'll take a short break here, and when I return, we'll talk about some of these strengths and weaknesses of the human spirit.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily. The developed nations have made awesome progress. They have produced a highly mechanized world, providing every luxury, modern convenience, and means of pleasure. Yet they are cursed with crime, violence, injustice, sickness and disease, broken homes and families. At the same time, more than one half the world is living in illiteracy, abject poverty, filth and squalor. Why? In a world of such awesome progress and advancement, is there so much violence and destruction? Something is missing from mankind's fund of knowledge. To learn more about what's wrong with knowledge production today, request What Science Can't Discover About the Human Mind. Also request Herbert W. Armstrong's book, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. There is hope for this dying world. Today, people live in constant fear of violence and crime from fellow man. But in the wonderful world tomorrow, the Bible says, none shall make them afraid. This advanced good news of tomorrow is as certain as the rising of tomorrow's sun. Request both books today, What Science Can't Discover About the Human Mind and The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Did we mention all our literature is free? Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back. We do love to hear your thoughts and your comments, your feedback. We encourage you frequently to send that in. And so I do remind you to send your comments, your thoughts to td@kpcg.fm. That's td@kpcg.fm. That is one of the things I really enjoy about Stephen Fleury's program when he reads that listener feedback and their comments. So please take advantage of your opportunity to contribute to this program and to help it be that much better. Well, getting back to our program subject today, if we go back to the Garden of Eden, there are a lot of answers there that relate to what's happening today. When Adam and Eve chose to reject God in the Garden of Eden, they and all of those who followed them were cut off from God, cut off from the Holy Spirit of God, cut off from education that God wanted to provide. They made their decision. They decided they would figure things out on their own. And so they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There is a mixture of good and evil, and mankind is left to himself to differentiate between the two. But the issue is complicated even further by the fact that Satan is right there lying to human beings. And he's done that from the very beginning, trying to discredit God, trying to sow seeds of doubt. He wants nothing more than to get us to rely on ourselves and to try to solve these problems of and by ourselves. In Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong said that the problems mankind faces, they're spiritual in nature. And if we don't try to address the spiritual cause of the problems, well, then the physical manifestations or the issues that arise, like a mass shooting or anarchy or broken families, well, those are just going to continue until we address the cause. The solution is spiritual. Now, sadly, mankind has been eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil ever since. And in our arrogance, you can hear it on any news show today, everybody seems to have an idea how to solve these problems. More laws, less law. There's all kinds of different ideas out there. And yet all we're seeing is an escalation of troubles. It's not that we're doing better. In fact, we're degenerating as a society here in America, in Britain. We're seeing terrorist activity all over the world. These are massive problems. And there is some good, as we'll talk about here in a moment, to that spirit in man. But there is a lot of evil as well. Now, when you go back to that story in the Garden of Eden, there is actually some really inspiring, wonderful truth tied into that account as well. God does call out a few people from this awful world, and he invites them to have a relationship with him. It's a spiritual, supernatural calling. We still have free choice whether or not we're going to respond. God invites us to eat from that tree of life. He invites us to be separate from this present evil world. We're invited to be led by his Holy Spirit. But the overwhelming majority of mankind that has ever lived remains cut off from God. Most people aren't called. Most people are trying to do things the best they can on their own. Now, this is all according to God's plan. And again, I think if you've listened to this program for any length of time, you understand that. We do have a great book that really puts all of these pieces together. It's entitled Mystery of the Ages. We promote it all the time. God used Herbert Armstrong to answer these mysteries and to make it very plain so that we could understand the world around us. Now, humanity is capable of good deeds. I just read some examples of that, of individuals that did whatever they could to provide assistance and comfort. And it's not just in this one tragedy. You see that all over the world. And it really is inspiring in a lot of ways. God did give us a inbuilt capacity to want to help. But it doesn't come natural. Or naturally, I should say. Heroic actions, as we just witnessed in Las Vegas, are great examples. And we recognize the good as a church here. We promote the good, in fact. The church celebrates the best of the human spirit using a foundation, the Armstrong International Cultural Foundation. It's been around for 21 years now in Edmond, and it's actually been impacting people all over the world. We have institutions overseas that bring aid or hope, educational services. We try to serve the local community with the arts. And we do that primarily by hosting a concert series on our Edmond campus that brings world-renowned artists to the stage of our magnificent auditorium. We really try to lift the spirits and keep a very royal environment as we listen to some of these wonderful musicians contribute and demonstrate the good that man is capable of. We're in our seventh season. We've hosted over 90 different concert events in Armstrong Auditorium here on our campus. And what's interesting that, again, we talk about it a little bit, but most people don't realize that the church subsidizes the performances. We cover about half the cost of the artist fees. And we do that so that the public can enjoy the best of the human spirit, the achievements of humanity at a reasonable price. We want to encourage people to come in and enjoy the arts. We provide free tickets to schools, retirement homes, other nonprofit organizations, all in an attempt to bring some good, some positive light into this world. This season's concert series features several different ballets. There's an Irish step dance performance. We have symphony and orchestra performances. Our own college, Coral Union, will provide an oratorio about Abraham. And there's also several other solo performances. We really do enjoy the very fine qualities and artistic skills of so many different individuals. The foundation also supports archaeological projects in Israel and other educational projects. We spend about $500,000 each year to share the good that humans are empowered to do. We promote it. Now, man, cut off from God, is still capable of some good. But we are limited to good on the human level, and that's the problem. If we're going to solve these terrible problems like mass shootings, terrorism, rebellion, then we need God's Holy Spirit to do so. Now, that Spirit is not going to come until there's repentance, submission to God's laws, and a proper education in choosing to live God's way. That's the purpose of our foundation. That's the message in all of our literature that we offer, our programs. We do discuss the evils of this world, but we also always talk about the hope. God does have a hope-filled plan and does plan to remove the hurt and the suffering that we go through as a human race. Our foundation shows what man is capable of achieving. And then we teach how we can expand that exponentially with the addition of God's Holy Spirit. You really do need to understand more about our foundation. And you can go to our website at pcog.org and study the different materials that we have that explain how our foundation really does act as a service arm of this work. Now, we're still in Satan's world. And there is a danger associated with the human spirit, and that is actually the cause of all of our terrible problems, that human spirit, the danger that's there. Yes, we can pinpoint the cause, and by so doing, we can come up with solutions. But until we seek God's input, until mankind comes out of Satan's world, the problems will only get worse. That is a sad fact. Jesus Christ said, "There is none good but God," and how true that is. Isaiah the prophet likened the goodness or the righteousness of man. He compared that to dirty rags from God's perspective. We're only capable of so much, and the good that man is capable of on his own is even selfishly motivated when you really look at it deep down inside. There is only so much we can do apart from God, and that's a lesson that God is trying to teach mankind. Sadly, we will continue to suffer under the perverted influences of Satan the devil. There will be more anarchy, unrest, mass murder. We will continue to experience terrorism, family division, and other terrible problems. But as I said, there is good news. Satan's time is limited. He knows there's a short time before Christ returns to remove his influence from mankind. Stephen Fleury spoke at length about that yesterday. The only way we're going to understand what God is going, excuse me, the only way we're going to understand what is going on is to go to God for the answer. There is an explanation for these horrific crimes. There is a cause. We want you to understand. And the best way I can do that for you today is to play back a Key of David program taped by Gerald Fleury. This is a program that was taped in 2013, and it came on the heels of a different mass shooting that really horrified the nation. You see, we do want you to understand. We really do. The program that Gerald Fleury will deliver explains the cause and finishes with the hope of a very positive, different world to come, a world free of Satan the devil. So to wrap up today's Trumpet Daily Radio program, we'll listen to Gerald Fleury expose the Prince of the Power of the Air. That is the title of his program. Well, it's been good to be with you, and I hope that you're able to make the most out of your day.
You're listening to Gerald Fleury and the Key of David on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
Greetings, everyone. The recent mass murder in Washington, D.C., who killed 13 people, including himself, said that he was hearing voices. Hearing voices, he also said he was led to do it by radio waves, as he put it, and that's, if you really understand the meaning of that and tie it into a certain scripture, it is rather amazing what we can see. There is one scripture, though, in the New Testament that really does focus on understanding what the motive was in this mass shooting. There at the Naval headquarters in Washington, D.C. Now, if people believe their Bibles, really believe their Bibles and what their Bibles teach, they would have to be deeply disturbed by that event. And they would certainly have to be sobered by what the Bible has to say about it. But there is one scripture that really does focus on the motive behind what that man did, or what caused him to do it. What caused him to do that? And there's so much at stake here. Surely we need to understand. Nobody seems to understand why or what we can do to solve such a problem. Almost nobody that even ventures a solution, it seems, unless it's very shallow. But you can understand this. If you look at almost all of these mass murders, almost every single one of them will tell you that they are hearing voices, and the voices that they hear are telling them to kill people, their fellow human beings. Now, that's what this is about. Those voices are telling them to do massive violence and murder. Where are those voices coming from? Surely we need to understand this better. And let me tell you, the Bible does give us that understanding. Notice Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Wherein in time past, that is, before they were converted, he's talking to converted people here, that is, Paul is, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. It's working now. I want to give you just to read a few statements here by Herbert W. Armstrong, who wrote in his booklet on human nature, Did God Create It? And if you would like to have a copy of it, we can't print that ourselves, but we can tell you where you can get a copy of it. And it's by Herbert W. Armstrong, and I want to read to you what he wrote in that booklet. Here, I'll quote him. Grasp it. Satan is here called the prince of the power of the air. I could not have understood that 60 years ago. I did not then realize how communication by sound and by picture can be broadcast instantaneously through the air. I have stressed the point that Satan, the former great archangel, Cherub Lucifer, was the most perfect and powerful being that God could create as an individual being. He was perfect as originally created, perfect, but he is composed of spirit and thus he is invisible to human eyes. This great and powerful being, even though evil, has power literally to surcharge the air around this earth. In other words, he broadcasts around this earth, just like the waves that go out for our television sets and our radios. It's very similar to that. Mr. Armstrong continued, wherever you are, as you read these words, chances are there are voices and perhaps music in the air around you, a radio or a television set tuned to the right wavelength. Now, this shooter said he was led to do this by radio waves, a certain pressure like a radio waves, and he was hearing voices. And they all say that, virtually. All of them say it. And that is something we really ought to understand if we want to solve some very serious problems that are going to get a lot worse if we don't solve them. Notice, Mr. Armstrong continued here, the spirit in every human being is automatically tuned in on Satan's wavelength. See, the shooter in the Naval Yard said he was led by radio waves. And Mr. Armstrong talks about being tuned to Satan's wavelength. And after all, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says that Satan is the god of this world. He speaks to this world in many different ways. But he is a spirit being and you can't see him. Just like you can't see electricity. Mr. Armstrong continues, you don't hear anything because he does not broadcast in words nor in sounds, whether music or otherwise. He broadcasts in attitudes. He broadcasts in attitudes of self-centeredness, lust, greed, vanity, jealousy, envy, resentment, competition, strife, bitterness, and hate. Well, how about that? Here is a great being filled with hate. Filled with hate. God says he was filled, or that he was a murderer from the beginning. And he's the father of liars. He just lies all the time. But he was a murderer from the very beginning. He loves to commit murder. Now, is that Satan really real to this world? Does anybody really believe that? I don't see much evidence that they do. And then he goes on to talk about the air just being surcharged with that broadcasting, just like the broadcasting going out for this television program or for a radio station. That's what it's all about, and that's how Satan actually deceives the whole world. He's broadcasting all the time, and yet people scoff at the idea of a devil, and he has them totally deceived. So says your Bible, Revelation 12 and verse 9. Mr. Armstrong continued, this prince of the power of the air, this god of this world, is the real source of what we have come to call human nature. Here is the real cause of all the world's evils. But it seems nobody understands it, and therefore the world does nothing about it except to go along with it, blaming human nature and supposing it was God who created us with an evil nature. Actually, it is Satan's nature. Now, that's really a bombshell understanding. If you just really think about it and study your Bible, and especially study to understand what this one verse means in particular. But Mr. Armstrong goes on to talk about how Satan works on people's moods, their attitudes, their negative feelings. That's how he broadcasts. If he can tap into your bad attitude or your bitter attitude or your hateful attitude, well, he really has a field to operate in. And that's how he commits murder and causes wars and riots. And you see the turmoil increasing in this world, and it's increasing for a very definite reason. Because he has been cast down to this earth and is now confined to the earth, whereas a few years ago he was not. Now it's very different. But this shooter said he was hearing voices. Well, they all say that. Shouldn't we really take them at their word and say, well, okay, if they're hearing voices, where do those voices come from? They don't come from some church choir, I would think, would you? That is, people who are really trying to obey God. No, those voices are not audible, but they are speaking to people, whether it be about violence or just frankly transgressing God's laws, and especially His Ten Commandments. But almost every single one of those shooters says he hears voices. You can see that in that elementary school shooting in Connecticut, or the movie theater shooting in Colorado, or the congresswoman being shot and wounded and others killed in Arizona. All of those shooters said they heard voices, and voices telling them to do violence. Now, if they are hearing voices, why do they always have to be of such terrifying deeds that these voices want them to do? Well, all you have to do is understand Ephesians 2 and verse 2. I want to just read a little more to you here to add to this understanding. The Lang's commentary translates that the expression according to the prince of the power of the air, they translate it as powers, plural. In other words, they will tell you that and most other authorities say this is a collective noun. And here's what Lang's wrote: the atmosphere surrounding the earth, breathed by all, acting upon this world and the world of men, standing in many relations to and exerting great power and influence upon their life, hence the power which the prince controls, that is Satan controls, is brought into connecting with the air and is described by the air. Well, I'm going to show you in a moment that, well, yes, there's Satan and all these millions of demons that rebelled with him against God. So it really, I think, enhances the understanding here or broadens the understanding if we know that it is a collective noun. And here's what one authority, Lang's quoted, said: the world is under the control of an active and powerful master, thus characterized, from a guy by the name of Edel. And he said the reference to a personality is to be found in this word, that is the power. As a collective noun, it includes the evil spirits whom follow the prince Satan. Now that's, again, Satan and the demons. Now you can see the Jameson Fawcett Brown commentary adds another little dimension to this by saying that when it talks about the power being collective, but it also says the spirit that are working in these men are also, that is also a collective noun. In other words, there are millions of demons confined to this earth only recently, and you're going to see a lot more of that if we don't learn a lesson here. It's about Satan and the demons, one third of them who rebelled against God, and I'll show you that from the scriptures in a moment. But the International Critical Commentary also says that that power is a collective noun. So these shooters were actually hearing voices, and there are plenty of voices out there to talk to them if they're willing to listen. You do have to resist the devil, but if you just give your mind over to him or to a kind of an emotional rage, or just make your mind blank or get into an hypnotic trance or something like that, well, then you're really in trouble. But this shooter said he was led to do it by radio waves. In other words, Satan was broadcasting to him. And he even used the word radio waves. There's certain pressure there on his evil thinking, his bad attitude, his hate. And it got worse, and it intensified and got worse and worse and worse. They can, and they do, that is, the demons and Satan, apply pressure. They have all kinds of power. And that's why people hear voices. And as this man said, are led to do it by radio waves or Satan broadcasting, frankly. That's what Mr. Armstrong was talking about. Revelation 12 in verse 3, you can see where this Satan is the leader of this great red dragon is over the seven heads and ten horns. In other words, it leads the Holy Roman Empire. Verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Now this is where Satan rose up to rebel against God and to try to kick God off his throne. That's the kind of power God created in this being. And it was this war here was a cosmic war right out in the universe. That's where warfare started. And then, of course, Satan was cast down and he introduced it to this world. And we've been warring ever since. Winston Churchill said, the history of man is the history of war. Well, why should that be with men? Because Satan is the god of this world. And wars are caused by him and evil men who want to follow his philosophy. But that cosmic war was just brought down to this earth, and now we have millions of spirit beings that are doing terrible things today because they know their time is short. And you'll see that right here in a moment. Verse 9, and the great red dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceives the whole world, and he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, this is the second time he was cast out. He's cast out in this end time. And we believe we can prove to you almost to the day, and perhaps even to the day when he was cast out. And we'll send you literature that will show you that. Verse 12, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, and for the devil has come down unto you. He was cast down. He's confined to this earth now. He's come down unto you having great wrath because he knows that he has but a short time. Now, that's very good news. And then it goes on to talk about how he immediately persecuted God's own church and turned 95% of God's own people away from God. That shows you the power he has, the power of deception, even deceived God's own church. That's what happened. 95% of God's people. We'll send you our booklet on America Under Attack, which will explain a lot of this to you, and also the booklet Daniel Unlocks the Book of Revelation. But Satan and these demons are now confined to this earth, and they're full of rage and wrath because they know they have but a short time until Jesus Christ returns and stops all the warfare forever. I mean stops it forever. We won't ever have to worry about Satan and his violent world again. We won't have to think about it. But Satan, you see, is behind warring on this earth. That's why it begins by talking about that Holy Roman Empire with seven heads and ten horns. That's his main tool to cause war on this earth. A church-state combine that is very deadly. And it all really started out into the universe. And now Satan has brought his number one tool out on this into this world, and they cause a lot of wars. Every time they get power, they go to war, and they're very powerful once again. And those booklets will explain that to you as well. But you can see the origin of all this warfare. See these people walk according to the course of this world. The course of this world is evil. That's what Ephesians 2 and verse 2 says, according to the prince of the power or powers of the air. He just surcharges that air with his evil spirit and motivates people and motivates that spirit in man to do evil things if they allow themselves to get into negative attitudes or evil attitudes, bitter attitudes. And that's what happens. And it goes on in verse 3, I'll just read that to you in Ephesians 2, among whom also we all have had our conversation, our conduct in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we've just all been guilty of following Satan's way of life. He's the God of this world, and we worship him. Unless we worship the true God. But look at all this broadcasting that's going on. Satan and the demons are working on these attitudes or these moods or these impulses or these negative feelings. And he can really get people stirred up if they're in a mean attitude or a bitter attitude or even a violent attitude. He can really use them. And that's how he causes wars and riots and the like. Here, there's a report here from the Drudge Report about Rick Santorum, who ran in the last presidential election and did quite well. But he said himself in this February 21, 2012 report, Satan has his sights on the United States of America. He's a Republican of the presidential hopeful back in 2012. He was. Satan is attacking the great institutions of America. Here's a politician that believes that. And I agree with him. And he talks about the great vices of pride and vanity and sensuality as a root to attack all of the strong plants that has so deeply been rooted in the American traditions. He said, this is a spiritual war. Well, our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy will certainly show you that. But you can also read more about this in Isaiah 14, where God actually shows there that first rebellion by Satan the devil. And he says in verse 12, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? And he goes on to say that Lucifer said he was going to exalt his throne above the stars or the angels of God. And that means above God too. I mean, this being has power. He challenged God. He challenged God. And that's something that we need very much to be aware of. You can read that in verses 12 through 14, but he had a throne, and he still has a throne. But he's about to be kicked off it. That's why he's so full of wrath. God is about to take over and bring peace and joy and happiness to this world. But here Satan has one-third of the rebellious angels, or one-third of the angels rebelled, and they were full of bitterness and became that way, and he deceived them and brought them along with him. As they were here on this earth, God was putting them on this earth to prepare them to rule the universe, but they failed. And so he decided he had to recreate himself in man, because only he would not rebel. Only he, the God, could be trusted to rule the universe. Now that's an amazing story. And an amazing truth that ought to fill us with hope and joy, because we're almost to the point where Jesus Christ is ready to return to this earth. He has to. Or he says there would be no flesh saved alive if he didn't. Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. See, he's been cast down again. And we can't think that somehow we're immune to all this. His wrath, the wrath of Satan and the power of Satan. I mean, it says in Isaiah that he makes the earth to tremble, and he shakes kingdoms. And yet people scoff at whether or not he even exists. Well, at least they'd better prove that very carefully, because we're headed for some serious trouble, and we need to get close to God to solve our problems. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
For more information about today's program, request our two free booklets, Daniel Unlocks Revelation and America Under Attack. You'll also receive our free reprint article, Satan Cast Down. As you will see, there is a definite cause for the increased violence and tension that we see around the world. Though most don't believe in a devil, the Bible reveals Satan is the author of the violence, murder, and hatred that infects many places on this earth. How well do you understand the broadcasting power of Satan the devil? Our free literature will increase your understanding of the unseen spirit powers that affect events on this earth. This fascinating study will also help you better understand and deal with the struggles in your own personal life. Request our two free booklets, Daniel Unlocks Revelation and America Under Attack, along with our free reprint article, Satan Cast Down. You'll also be sent a free subscription to our news magazine, The Philadelphia Trumpet. Our current special issue focuses on the archaeological finds of Dr. Mazar. Her recent discoveries in Jerusalem have brought the history of Old Testament Israel to life. You won't want to miss this special issue of The Trumpet magazine. Also, visit us online at thetrumpet.com for daily columns and news analysis. All of our literature is free and will be sent to you with no cost or obligation. Operators are standing by to take your call. To request the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. Again, that's 1-800-339-7629. To watch the program online, visit us at keyofdavid.com. If you would prefer to write for today's free literature, send your request to The Key of David, Post Office Box 3700, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083.